What is work? What is this thing to which we devote most of our waking hours in the prime of our lives? Is it a curse? A punishment? A burden? A responsibility? Why do we work? What is the purpose? To put food on the table. To support our families. To get out of the house. To get rich. To be challenged. To build. To accomplish. To prove oneself. To show the doubters. To achieve. To succeed. To invent. To create. To compete. To conquer. To build wealth. To search for meaning. To leave a legacy. To find identity. But what if there's more? What if we are divinely placed, wherever we are? What if it's about what we can give, not just what we get? What if work is an opportunity to worship our Creator and bring Him glory? Not just by the words we say, not just by the quality of our character, but by the excellence of our work. What is work? Work is worship.
Our message today is Wisdom from Work. And I'm reading several passages from the book of Proverbs about just that. Here, this first one, Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. So, how are you doing today? It has certainly been hot outside all this week. I pray that you are finding God's mercy and grace and peace in the midst of whatever challenges you face today. Remember, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. Amen? Amen. Well, we're continuing our series, Wisdom from Proverbs, and a shout out to all of those of you who are joining me on the summertime wisdom seeking team, reading a chapter each day, looking for one or two verses that particularly speak to you. Earlier this morning, I read chapter 17, this verse, Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I wrote in my journal, Lord, I'm grateful that you help me cultivate a cheerful heart and give me compassion for those who are crushed in spirit. Their pain is real and they need compassion and care. Well, according to Proverbs, wisdom is the most precious gift we can have. It is worth more than money, possessions, fame, fortune. Wisdom from God can help guide us through everyday life. And who doesn't need that? And the New Testament affirms that God's wisdom from on high is most available to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in Him, we receive forgiveness for our sins. Hallelujah! And we experience the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God from on high, who comes to live in us and lead us and guide us and teach us. And get this, the Apostle Paul shares this powerful word in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ Jesus has become for us what? Wisdom from God. I continue to be fascinated by all the practical advice for everyday life we find in the Proverbs. We've been reminded that healthy fear, honor, respect, and reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? We've said that it doesn't automatically show up in our lives. We don't automatically become wise with age. It comes as we seek it, pursue it, go after it. Ultimately, the wisdom we seek comes from God. He created it. He provides it through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and through His Son Jesus. That's why we get to know Jesus and then stay close to Him as we walk through life. So far, we've talked about the source of wisdom, wisdom for families, the character of the wise, wisdom in friendships. Today, I want to talk about wisdom at work. Post work in the chat. Work is a natural part of our lives. God has designed us to be productive and to do good work throughout our lives. Our work can take many forms and expressions. We can work at home. We're on the job. We can do good work while we're employed as well as when we're retired. And it's such an important and significant part of our everyday lives. God wants to provide us wisdom at work. We all have a need for wisdom regarding work. I may have told this story before, but when I was in high school one summer, my brother Jerry and I worked for a farmer. At the beginning of the summer, Mr. Ott hired us to string 10-inch irrigation pipe on the ground so that water could irrigate the corn or the soybeans that he was growing. The rest of the summer, we managed the water flow each day, opening and shutting the little valves on the pipe so that water could flow down the rows. He even gave us a truck to drive so that we could get in and out of the fields. One night it rained pretty heavy. The next morning, Jerry and I drove out to check on the irrigation water, and the gravel roads were a bit wet and muddy, and the dirt roads into the fields looked worse. The big question in our 16 and 15-year-old minds was, should we leave the truck on the gravel road and walk into the fields to change the water flow, or just drive on in? But in thinking about it, there was another factor. Hey, we've got a four-wheel drive pickup here. We'd seen all the commercials. There's no way you can get a four-wheel drive truck stuck. It can't happen. Well, that turned out to be faulty thinking. I'm here to tell you, you can get a four-wheel drive truck stuck, especially if you work at it. You can bury it pretty good trying to back out and then go forward. Back out and then go forward again and again. The farmer eventually had to pull us out with a winch truck, and the transmission on that old four-wheel drive truck was never quite the same. I'll always remember what Mr. Ott said to us that day. He said, "Boys, I'd rather you get on the radio and ask a question anytime you're not sure about something, rather than just plow on ahead." He said, "A question has never cost me any money." I've never forgotten that advice. If you're not sure, it's wise to ask. It never hurts to ask. Wisdom, as we do our work, we all need it. Whether as an at-home mom or a dad raising children or doing work as a student in the classroom or working at a job that you go to every day or serving as a volunteer worker in some way, our work is an important aspect of our lives. If we spend 8 hours a day at it, as many people do, half of our waking moments are given to some kind of meaningful work. God wants us to have wisdom about work. We see that in the book of Proverbs. Solomon advised that we avoid the way of the sluggard. When I first started reading Proverbs, I had to look up that word. I didn't know what it meant. It means a habitually lazy person. Sluggard. It just sounds lazy. Proverbs has a lot to say about the sluggard, but perhaps this verse summarizes it best. Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. We all know what it is to be tempted to lay in bed. It's a comfortable, cozy place, and we do need a good night's rest to recuperate and recover. God refreshes us in mind, body, spirit through sleep, but we're not designed to stay in bed forever. There's a time to sleep, a time to play, and a time to work. Here's some wisdom about work. We have to learn to work hard and take pride in something well. Post "work hard" in the chat. There's something satisfying and gratifying about being able to complete a task or finish a project. The first job that I remember doing at home as a kid was drying the dishes to help out my mom. I was the oldest. She worked hard to put meals on the table. I could help by drying the dishes, so I did. I realize now I was beginning to learn about work. Proverbs 14:23 says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Looking back now, I see that my dad was the one who really taught me about hard work. He's the one who taught me how to mow the lawn, sand and paint, wash the car, grow a garden. With four sons, my dad was always thinking of projects we could be doing. He'd even volunteer us for projects, I suppose, to keep us busy. He'd say, "Boys, we're going to go help Mrs. So-and-so put in a new lawn. So load up that rotor tiller and those rakes and some gloves." Or, "Boys, we're going over to so-and-so's to help them re-shingle the house. So grab those ladders, those hammers, and get some gloves." To tell you the truth, most of the time, we weren't as excited about those work projects as my dad was. We usually started out pretty grumpy, often 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning or so. But there was something special about working together to get things done, to see something accomplished. My dad used to say, "Boys, if you're gonna do a job, you might as well do it right." I didn't realize it at the time, but my dad was providing us with quite an education and some experiences and truth about work that have lasted a lifetime. Here's some more practical wisdom about work. Dishonest gain is not the way to go. Eventually, dishonesty catches up with us, and it doesn't turn out to be the satisfying experience we thought it would be. Proverbs 20, verse 17, "Food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel." At first, dishonest gain might taste sweet, but in the end, it doesn't taste right at all. Think of all the ways people can and do defraud others today. It can happen on Wall Street or Main Street, at the shop or in the office, online or over the phone, using the law or skirting around it. For every schemer like Charles Ponzi or Bernie Madoff or Jeff Skilling or Jack Abramoff, there are others who don't get caught. But according to Proverbs, eventually, even they end up with a bad taste in their mouth, like a mouthful of gravel. More wisdom about work. Our words have great power. We build up or we tear down. We encourage or we discourage. The wise sage Rodney Dangerfield once said, "I told my psychiatrist, everyone hates me. He said I was being ridiculous. Everyone hasn't met me yet." Our words have great power. What we say to one another, our colleagues, those we supervise, those we work with, has a huge impact. According to one Gallup poll, 2 out of 3 Americans had not been encouraged or affirmed in 3 months. Our words have great power. Proverbs 12:18 reads, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Have you ever used words recklessly at work or otherwise and seen the results? Seen what can happen? It's not pretty. On the other hand, how can we use words to bring healing? Sometimes a specific word of praise makes all the difference. "You're doing a great job here," or "Here's how what you did in our organization is making a huge difference." Stories told of an employee who once told their boss, "You are hard to work for. Always quick to criticize and not as quick to praise." Do our words pierce or bring healing? Healing words are the sign of God's grace and forgiveness at work in us. Piercing words often indicate God's grace has not yet sufficiently pierced our hearts. Sometimes we need a heart check. Our words have great power. More wisdom from Proverbs about work. Correction is not a bad thing. If we're going to grow, improve, get better at a job, get better at living, we're going to need to learn to accept advice, instruction, and words of correction. Words like, "You said this," or "You did this. It caused this effect. It created this problem." What do we do when people correct us? How do we respond? Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but who hates correction is stupid." Correction is not a bad thing. If we can hear it and respond accordingly, we can become a better person. We grow stronger for having gone through the experience. Yet some people can't handle constructive criticism. They don't hear it for what it is, an attempt to be helpful. Instead, they hear it as mean-spirited or critical and get defensive or upset. That's when being connected with others in the body of Christ makes a difference. Sometimes we need the objective advice of other people who love us and can help us to see what at first we may not see. We need healthy humility in all our dealings, at work and otherwise. Proverbs 16:18 reads, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." Sometimes our pride can be a real problem. If we're not able to receive criticism, if we're not able to work with others on the team, if we're not open to what our spouse or our coworker or our family member might be trying to tell us, we are setting ourselves up for failure, setting ourselves up for a fall. Don't let that happen. Let Proverbs speak truth and humility into your life. More wisdom from Proverbs. Your workplace is a mission field. Post mission field in the chat. At home, on the job, at school, in the workplace, wherever you work, serve, or volunteer, that place is your mission field. And remember this, the gospel often travels along kinship and friendship lines. People respond best when they can talk with someone they already know, someone they respect, someone they trust about faith, about God, about the good news, about Jesus. We know as many people today as ever have questions about God and life and what's real and what's true. But who do we talk to? Where do people turn? You may be that person that they know, trust, and respect. You may be the one they can talk with about whatever is on their heart. So be open and stay sensitive to the spiritual receptivity around you. Your workplace, school, community, or the place you live and serve is a mission field. For whom has God placed you there? Paul reminds us in Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Your workplace, your place of service, is a great opportunity to shine the light of Christ so that people may hear and see the good news and turn their hearts toward Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the one who accepts, forgives, and equips you for every good work. He redeemed you. He loves you. He equips you and will sustain you in this life and the next for every good work. He is a great boss to be working with. Amen? Amen. So let's pray about that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we need your wisdom for all of our lives, at home, with friends, in the workplace, in the world. Help us to avoid laziness. None of us wants to be a sluggard. Give us proper perspective about work. May we regularly experience satisfaction from a job well done. Keep us from dishonest gain. Show us the power of our words as well as our actions. Help us to hear and accept correction when it comes. Give us eyes to see the mission field all around us. Lord, we are grateful that Jesus is the one who redeems us, forgives us, equips us for every good work. He's the greatest boss to be working with. In His mighty name we pray, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I would love to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to care for and reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online to use the app or use the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus Christ is the one who redeems you, forgives you, and equips you for every good work. For now, who do you know who needs to know about your boss and good friend, Jesus?
You know, I hate when people tell me age is just a number. Clearly, it's a word.
Come explore and experience a wide range of activities, from potlucks to game days, international restaurant crawls to Tulsa's Route 66, as part of our new Christchurch Explorers. Join us on Monday, July 25th at 11 a.m. for a salad luncheon at the church. Let's get acquainted and plan an adventure. Sign up at the Connect Center.
Celebrate Christmas a little early this year. Join Christchurch Explorers for a Branson Show extravaganza November 1st through 3rd. This Diamond Tours travel package includes motor coach transportation, two nights lodging, two breakfasts, and two dinners, and admission to four fabulous shows. Sign up at the Connect Center.
The thrill of discovery happens when we learn new things. The joy of discovery happens when we make new friends. Discover CUMC is a chance to find out more about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership. Join us today at 12:15 p.m.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.